Hello again, and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. We are a division of the Wash and Word, which is a hand car washing business in Churchill. It's located on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. And my name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the hand car wash. And that business is what we do to earn our living, and we also support this ministry and our personal finances and the business ministry through the hand car washing business that we have. And we encourage you to come out. You can support this ministry simply by allowing us to work to support the ministry. We never want to ask for handouts. We never want to peddle the word of God. We're not a church to take up tithing. We have a strong desire to get the verse by verse Bible preaching of God's entire counsel into as many hands and as many ears as possible. And so you'll find us on this radio station every day at 8:30, Monday through Friday. Guess that's not every day, is it? Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. You can hear continued verse by verse messages. You can also go to our website, washandword.com, and there you can listen to this message, and any of our prior recorded messages are there on the media tab. And of course, everything you want to know about the business is on that website as well. Now, getting back to our verse by verse Bible teaching, we are here in the book of John, and we're in the, towards the very end of the story of the woman at the well. And we've probably already preached about four or five messages just on this one section. So you're, you know, encouraged always to go back and listen to the ones leading up to today to kind of help you fill in, because we don't have the time to go back and reiterate everything. But just by way of quick up to speed here, the woman and Jesus have had their conversations. The disciples are now about to come back. The woman has been enlightened, and she has run off to tell the townsfolk of the man that she has found. Could this be the Messiah? And so now the moment of truth comes for the disciples as they are heading back. We're in verse 30. We'll be picking it up in verse 39 here today. And Jesus is about to really throw the disciples into the fire here in terms of their evangelism expertise. There is a crowd of ripe fruit on their way back, on their way to see Jesus and the disciples. And have you ever been in a situation where you found yourself in a position to evangelize somebody, or maybe a group of people? You know, it's come up somehow, and you kind of freeze up. You get a little nervous or fearful, or maybe you just not secure enough in the word or in your own personal walk to even think about evangelism. Can you relate to that? Has that happened to you? You know, the flood of negativity goes into your brain, and you're saying questions to yourself like, what if I can't answer the things that they ask for, or the questions? What if I can't answer them? What if I don't know what to say? What if I fail? What if I look stupid or say something wrong? What if they laugh at me, or worse, they get angry, or well, to that I say, wah, wah, wah. You know, the what ifs are the thing that's causing so much problems in the world today in the church, and why we're so ineffective. Because unless you do something about it, unless you step out and take that chance, people are going to go to hell. The very same people that God is laying on your heart right now to evangelize to. Listen, times are changing rapidly in this world. The world is changing, and we are on the brink of some major upheaval. And Jesus used the woman to teach the disciples and to teach us that you do not have to be a highly trained evangelist. All you need is a working knowledge of the gospel, a personal salvation account, and faith in the Holy Spirit giving you the words to say. And all this because at the fork in the road, several verses back, Jesus decided to go left instead of right. He decided to go through Samaria instead of go around it. And that means stepping out of our comfort zone. And this is a hard thing to do, and I understand that. You know, I've moved into a lot of different houses in my life, and most of the times I put a lot of work into my home. I update things, I replace things, I put money and time and sweat. And then, and it comes time to sell it, I don't really want to. You know, I've worked so hard at what I've put into this house that selling it it hurts to think about it. And so many of us have worked really hard to furnish the comfort zone that we are in today. You know what I mean? You, wherever you are right now in your spiritual walk and in your evangelism undergoings, you know, we moved into that place years ago, and we have put so much work into that subconsciously. You know, that level of just complacency, because we know deep down a new level means a new devil. And if we step out, a new lifestyle means a new life trial. And a new direction means new rejection. But you've got to put all that aside. Listen, the fields are white with harvest. Jesus said so himself. But those same fields are impending fire of judgment is going to go through those same white fields one day. And the result of a burnt field left unevangelized is the testimony of souls going to hell. And so the Samaritans are on their way out. Many of them believe from what they just heard. Let's pick it up in verse 39 of chapter 4, the Gospel of John. And it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Hold on to that right there. That's important. He told me everything I ever did, she said. And so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Now, stopping there at verse 42, I love that part where it says that many of the believers or the townsfolk believed him in him because of the woman's testimony. So the testimony was effective, but then it said in verse 42, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves. Do you see what happens there? You know, we tell people about the Lord and they take a step of faith in believing our testimony, but it isn't until they taste and see and hear and touch the Lord themselves that their spiritualism and their faith and their Christianity really begins to take off. She used the one tool that she had, and that was her testimony. And that's the one tool every single Christian has. You know, the power of a testimony is it's a powerful thing. And you may not be able to explain the imputation of Christ's righteousness, or you might not be able to fully explain the Reformed theology of doctrinal atonement, but you can tell them that you were blind and now you see. And at the very least, you can invite them to come and go to the church that you're visiting, that you attend. Or maybe tell them to turn on this radio station at 8:30. They can hear some verse-by-verse Bible teaching. Or go by the Wash and Word, where we play our messages all day long during business hours on a loop right in the parking lot. You could pull in your car, turn to 107.1 FM, and these messages play on a loop all day long while we're open, and you can just pull in and listen to them. You can be an inviter. You know, I've seen some people, they sit in church and they don't really want to be there. But if you could just get them there, and this is why the teaching of the word on a Sunday morning worship service is so important. And this is why we have to preach the whole counsel of God's word, not just cherry pick certain parts, because I have seen the whole counsel of verse by verse Bible teaching of the word of God chip away at stone hearts. I have seen living water mixed with the rock of salvation just erode the bedrock of unbelief. You know, I've seen people with their arms crossed, looking at us like we're nuts there in church, criticizing in their minds every little thing they could possibly think of. And as the word begins to go forth, I could see these same people, their arms begin to come down and get unfolded. Their heads begins to nod in agreement, and things start to change. That's what the word of God can do. You know, there are three types of fishermen. Some fish with dynamite. That is, they bring a false doctrine or an overzealous one. Some stand on the shore with a net waiting for the fish to jump in. And then there are some who just cast their poles in the water. But what do they all have in common? Water. Water is the thing that no matter how you fish, no matter how you attempt to be a fisher of men, you have to be near water to catch fish. But just being near water doesn't make you a fisherman any more than, if I can steal a thing from Billy Sunday, any more than being in a garage makes you a car. And listen, I've gone fishing many times with no results. But then there are times where I've gone out there and every time my hook hit the water, I would actually catch a real fish. And, you know, life is full of failures and successes. Even in your Christian walk, the woman's testimony was powerful, but only when somebody experiences Jesus for themselves will they truly understand. And those who were not ready to accept the woman's testimony, Jesus stayed around a little while, a couple of days, it says, and he ended up breaking down those barriers. So don't give up if your failure of evangelism happens right away. Keep the people in prayer. Keep going at it. Don't be a nuisance. Don't be an obnoxious, offensive burden, but share the love of Jesus and don't give up. Moving on, Jesus is off to Galilee, and we're going to read verses 43 through 46. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine, and there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. Now, earlier I had said that he stayed in Samaria 2 days to further convince the hard hearts that he was the gift of salvation. But here we see another aspect of Jesus waiting around. We see the sovereignty of God. And had Jesus not waited around for the couple of days that he did, he might have missed this official's son. So I'm wondering, was I wrong to say that Jesus stayed there 2 more days just so that he could help break down the hearts of some of the hard-hearted Samaritans? Or was it the fact that he stayed there 2 more days so that in God's sovereignty, this royal official would be able to meet with Jesus to discuss about his son? Well, may I suggest to you that I wasn't wrong because, well, according to my wife, I never admit that I am, but that's not what I want to say here. Here's what I want you to get, and we're just about out of time, so maybe you could take this one with you as we close this message down. But God always has a dual purpose for the things that happen to you and around you. Did you know that? That's on a slow day. I mean, there may be thousands of purposes simultaneously working for the things that are happening around you and that are happening to you. You know, when you run the entire universe, you know, everything is happening for another reason, not just what's going on with you. And that is why our response to obedience is so important. You never know what or who your obedience to God is going to affect. And we'll look a little bit more at that in our next teaching. And we'll pick it up in verse 47. Until then, we welcome you to come by the Wash and Word, our hand car washing business, in the Churchill, the Powell Shopping Center in Churchill. We'll also come back tomorrow at 8:30, Monday through Friday on this station to hear more verse-by-verse teachings, or go to our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Have a blessed day.